Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it. And we'll do so in a moment, but we'll begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be together. What a grace. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Also blessed to have Maureen with us today. I'm going to mute her right now. Hi, Maureen. I think you're still... might be muted somewhere there. And I didn't double mute you, that's for sure. I think it looked like it clicked on and clicked off for a moment. Well, while Maureen's doing that, I apologize for my chuckle at the end of that School of Mary invocation. There's nothing really funny about it, but you know, when I read that that line, you know, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. I'm laughing at myself because if I'm fortunate to be a part of that little group, how can that be? I can't even take care of myself. How can I be entrusted with anyone else? So, but again, God knows us better than we do. And he knows our capacity way beyond what we do. Okay, let's try it again. I'm going to ask Maureen to unmute. The little toggle button maybe on the microphone, Maureen, on the headset. Is that try unplugging the phone, the headset jack, and plugging it back in. See if that makes a difference. And we pray, come divine will. Listen our listening, hear in our hearing, connect in our connecting. Yeah, we're there.
Oh, okay, but I can't see you, so I'll keep working on that. I don't know what's going on here. The wind is really blowing here. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I can't see you, so I'm going to keep working on it. So,
okay, but you have a hard copy of the words anyway, right? It's from last week that we never got to.
Yes, I do somewhere. I'll get them. I think I'm going to get in, though. I think I'm going to get in.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I had the screen share save. The screen share on now, so it's the Word doc that I have there. But you know, while you're working on that, Maureen, because we need you, just again want to lead off with two things that I think if we can remember these two, and maybe even if we mention them briefly before each cynical, just takes the daunting feeling out of this divine will. I mean, there's so much to learn. There's so many great souls out there. Spreading the good news of the divine will, speaking about the divine will, sharing the divine will, you know, giving their personal viewpoints, which is always encouraging for all of us because we can resonate with probably many different understandings. Again, not talking about differences, but just you know, we see it a different you of color, which is good. We gets to be broader. So the one that I like to lead off with is volume 11, September 25th, 1913. And this is basically Jesus telling Luis and telling us that this gift has been given to everyone. And he says, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. Easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, end quote. So it can't be avoided. It's here if we want it. And again, God is saying, I'm not going to force you. If you opt to elect not to receive it or not to possess it, he's going to allow your free will to reign. He's never going to invalidate that. So again, it's available to everyone. So never feel that, oh, it can't be available to us. It's everyone, everyone. Then he goes so far, again, goes, okay, it's available to everyone, but how do we do this? Where do we start? What does it take? Do I have what it takes? And again, he makes it really easy for us. Volume 23, November 17th, 1927. He says, my daughter, that which is most necessary, again, not one of the most necessary, not along the other necessary things, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine fiat, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. That's number one. Move God. How do we move God? I think we move God, you know, Maureen, with our desire, with our work, you know, reading, studying, listening, whatever we have the capacity to do so, of course, not giving up our other obligations that God has so graciously given us. He's not asking us to abandon those, but he's looking for it to see how much really we want this, because he's going to give us the gift, as he states to Louisa, you know, commensurate to our desire for this. The more we desire it, the more he's going to give. So again, knowing that all we have to do is move God, and we can move God in a myriad of different ways. Again, just giving our fiat, doing the preventing act in the morning, just saying, Jesus, I trust you. You know, there's a reason why he gave us the Divine Mercy devotion, because this gift is so spectacular that we'd be shaking our heads. He knew we'd be shaking our heads, but knowing that he says, trust me, if I say it so, it will be. Don't rely on your human intellect. And that's something I learned early on. So again, move God. We can move God this evening. We pray. Come divine will. Allow us to move God in our thoughts and our actions and our words. And then the second, he says, the other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and prays to God to give such a great good must possess it within herself, the life of the kingdom which she asks for the other creatures. Mm-hmm. So again, we're always asking, you know, come divine will, so that we may, this gift may be shared with all souls, past, present, and future. And for us to facilitate and to enjoin God in that, we need to possess it ourselves. And that's why it makes sense too, in volume 13, December 5th, 1921, when Jesus says, quote, the work is already done. There is nothing left except to make it known, so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings, end quote. So now, understanding that, okay, we have to make it known. Whom first? I think Father Celso reminds us this. We have to make it known to ourselves first. Because then as we move God, God is going to distribute that dew, that grace, that invisible rain on fleece, as St. Cyril Jerusalem states, which is going to dispose all souls to be receptive to this gift. But it all begins with us. Again, it's that cog, volume 16. I don't know the date, February 23rd, maybe. Or we're going to see it later. Actually, why should I guess? Volume 16, February 2nd, good thing, 1924. He's bringing a small group of people. I really believe that's us. To be so intimate with him as never before, since Adam, since Eve. Of course, we're not including our Lady, our Blessed Lady, or our Blessed Lord. But he's bringing this small group, this cog, so that we may understand the source. We may understand Jesus. We may receive those mystical marriages. We may have everything necessary in order to move God so that all souls can be disposed. Again, it's available to everybody, including us. And we have to move God and possess this gift. And by moving God, God will make it. He'll do all the work for us. Our Lady said fiat. and everything else was done for her. Anything to add to that, Maureen? I mean, just so spectacular.
I always think of our Blessed Mother, and when I meet people that are trying to live this life, it always seems like they had a devotion to Our Lady. And it always happens that way. She's the one that led them into this way of life. And Jesus says in one of the volumes, how beautiful it is to see the human smallness inside our will. And I think Our Lady over the years has been teaching us to be small, but powerful, because that's what she is. And so I think she's the main reason and the force that had the small, quiet, but powerful force that has brought us all to this place. So I want to thank her.
I agree. You know, she's been given the task to dispose the children, to gather the children. She began it. She also did it in the Married Movement of Priests with the White Army. So again, this has been in the making. Jesus says for 6,000 years, sorry about the scrolling up and down. Don't look, you'll get dizzy. He says for 6,000 years, my mother and I have been going around the world, making sure that everything had been given, so that, we would not fall. So we would not, fall short. And he says that also, we keep going off top. He says that in volume 14, September 9th, 1922. Just an excerpt, if I may. Jesus speaking, quote, therefore, there is nothing I did, which did not have as its primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation. This was my primary purpose in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way to let man reach this possession of my divine will, end quote. So that may be hard for some of us to understand, to believe that everything, including the sacraments, the church, everything is there to allow us to return to that order, that place, and that purpose which were created by God. That's the end game. That's the ultimate goal of everything our Blessed Lord is doing and has done since the fall of Adam. That's astonishing. You know, Maureen?
I remember when I first started reading this, and I read that the divine will, the era of sanctification, is greater than creation and redemption combined. And I thought, how can that be? But it makes you realize how great this is. Not that those things weren't great, but that this is even greater. So it puts it in perspective. And then you realize, wow, I had a lot of reading to do, or I have a lot of understanding to do, because you believe it, but you want to learn. You want to learn, how does this happen? And, you know, you get this hunger for knowledge. And so you just want to read it. And if you're reading, I know for me, if I started reading something else, I was like, I'm not supposed to be reading this. I'm supposed to be reading Divine Will.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
He said he's going to change our palate. So, you know, again, not that those books are bad. They're not bad. But again, when Jesus and our Blessed Lady tell us and teach us about giving up even holy things, they're really helping to condition us so that we choose to use our time for the greater good, in essence. And it's like a silly analogy, but, having a nurse with us, for example, if the nurse came onto a scene and there were two cars in an automobile accident, and one had five passengers that were all, you know, needing help, and the other one has one passenger that needed help but not as severely, where would you go first? Of course, you go to where the greater need is, where the greater benefit would be, you know, being in that second car where you can attend to five people. It's a similar thing with, again, bad analogy, I'm full of those, but same thing with when it comes to giving up even holy things. I don't have that quote in front of me, but I know it's in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, day 22, Our Lady speaks about it. She says, we have to give up even holy things, but always according to the circumstances. So we have to, you know, weigh everything out as well. Our Lord says, you know, don't be surprised if they don't understand. for to understand this gift, they'd have to make the greatest sacrifice of their life, which is not to give life to their human will, even in holy things. So again, that doesn't mean we stop doing holy things, but God wants us to embrace the holy things so that we can, for lack of a better phrase, get a better bang for the buck for what we're doing. It's like that. It is like the when the air masks come down on the plane. Common sense tells you if you're traveling with children, wouldn't you want to attend to them first because you're stronger? Yes, that would make sense, right? But what are the instructions? The instructions are put the mask on yourself first and then attend to your children. Because think about it. If you're able to help one child, and let's say you have two children, and you pass out not being able to attend the second one, then you haven't really helped. You helped 50%. But if you're strong enough to be able to attend to both, then of course you've helped to save both or to help both. So again, God wants us to pause maybe. If we have only a certain amount of time, but if we have two things to do, he's saying, grab the divine will first. Move me so that I may give you the grace. Let's get this done quickly. Let's get you on your journey. Because all we need to get is our foot in the door. Don't worry about living this completely. I mean, that's our goal, and that will happen eventually. Let's get our foot in the door, because then it's like being in the Colosseum. You have a take of everything that's there. Everything is yours. Again, you just don't possess it fully, but that's okay. Little by little, step by step. It's so beautiful. It's so incredible.
You can tell, like, Jesus is so anxious to get this kingdom here. He wants it so badly, he and the Blessed Mother. And I think that's like in the volumes, they say, run, hurry, you know, those words. They want it here. And the fact that we have a say in how quickly it comes by our responding to their requests is awesome. Like, the more people that are in the divine will, the quicker the kingdom is coming. So there's an urgency. I feel an urgency that the kingdom comes and that evil is exhausted. More souls will be saved that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's funny you say about run. I've run written all over the place here, because it's amazing. Now that we know the word, recognize the word, we're going to see it, especially with Our Lady. Our Lady always ran when it came to our Blessed Lord. And what is run, I guess, versus walk? What does it delineate? I guess I think it impresses a increase of desire, right? You want to get there faster, so you run as opposed to, you know, nonchalantly walk and I'll get there. But I guess it's that aggressiveness in walking that causes the run because of our desire, because we want it badly. And again, that's what's going to move God. And again, if we really just take a look at those two simple excerpts, this gift really is simple. I mean, there's a couple of prerequisites that's necessary, but again, those are also easy. What does Jesus tell us? He tells us four things we need to get to receive this gift. Number one, we must be in the state of grace. That's number one. That's the high level given. Nothing happens unless we're in the state of grace. Number two, we must possess that ardent desire. Again, if you don't know what an ardent desire is, I didn't know. Jesus explains it throughout the volumes, and Father Inuzzi plucked it out. We put it into a visual. So if you go to the website, queenofthedivineworld.org, under the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids, you'll see the ardent desire, and you'll see what Jesus is looking for in the recipe, so to speak, for an ardent desire. That's number two. So state of grace, ardent desire. Number three, an upright intention. We want this gift for everyone, not just for ourselves, not just for our spouse and our family, forgetting about everyone. We want this for all souls, past, present, and future. And number four, we just read, it was ask. God wants us to ask for this gift. I guess with asking, Maureen, you know, there's a bit of humility there. It's like a sort of like a confession where you're, you know, Lord, I need this. Lord, I'm not so big. Lord, I can't do this by myself. So he wants to hear that we ask. Plus also, if we're asking sincerely, he knows if we're sincere or not. Again, we're impressing, again, a desire. We're attempting to move God. And again, as we move God, he's going to give us the grace and graces to understand this gift. And the more we move God, the more we receive. So this could be it. It took Luis a long time, but it always takes, there's always more education for the teacher than the students. So remember, this could be very quickly. This could be very long. It could be sort of in between. It doesn't matter, as long as we get our foot in that door. And that's what God's giving us, that opportunity through the mystical gift that he's already given us. So we are blessed. truly blessed. We really are. I mean, it's just so incredible. I'd like to just keep talking this, but we're going to do the same thing we did last week. Maureen, I think we're going to move to the footnote.
Okay.
So why don't we read them here? I think we're on 288, so we can we can read this up to the red cross I have near 288, please.
Okay. 5.3.7.3. The human will's passivity and propensity to continuously cooperate with the divine will and to share in God's immutability. If Maximus maintains that divine love is a fully theandric reality in the soul, Louisa relates that in the soul in whom God's own love abides, its human acts are absorbed by the divine will that keep them continuously linked to God's eternal operation and establish in it a theandric reality. In her depictions of Adam's prelapsarian acts in the divine will, Louisa underscores this Maximian reality. Adam's obediential passivity to the divine will allowed God to precede, accompany, and follow all that which he did in Eden. God's operation preceded Adam's acts. While accompanying them, by cooperating with them and following them, by maintaining from one human action to the next their continuity with his eternal operation. Indeed, the continuous link that Adam established with God's divine will vested his finite acts with the power to impact all creatures concomitantly and to share in God's immutability.
It's incredible. This is the summary. Again, for those of you joining us for the first time, this is Father Joseph Lee Wainosi's doctoral dissertation, which means he took all the writings through the request of the Archbishop of Corrado. It took him 14 years to complete this. He did the translation. He also then summarized Louisa's writings. He put it into a theological perspective. He grounded it in our Catholic faith. He showed that everything that Louisa penned, everything that Jesus stated to her and our Blessed Mother stated to her, was found in our Catholic faith, was contrary to nothing. And he successfully defended this. And he did that through the Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So in essence, this book, all of the summaries, all of the photo, everything's been approved by the Holy See through the Gregorian University in this format. So it's so great. So again, we hear also that we need to have a priest with us as we journey. It's true, but not to be misunderstood. I have it right here, the exact quote from the Archbishop, and I can make that available. I think it's on our website. Archbishop Pacieri had asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. It doesn't mean we cannot journey without a priest. It does not mean we cannot read this. In fact, he goes on later in the communication to say, on the contrary, not only do I not mean this, but I encourage you to read. And he also said offline, he said, there's plenty of stuff on the internet and you'll be able to find this wherever you like. So again, he encourages reading. He encourages meeting, sharing our ideas on this. But again, we have a theological question, something that's ambiguous to us, and we really need clarification. So in order to move forward, that's when we need to consult with a priest. And so for those of us who don't have access to it, of course, we pray that we will, we can use this dissertation in the meantime, because again, it has Father Annuzzi's summary. He tells us exactly what it means. He drives us into the volumes, as we're going to see in a moment, and all of this has been approved. So what a beautiful gift we have here until we receive the critical edition released by Rome. And we're not quite sure when we're going to receive that, because again, they've got some, not errors, but they've got some issues. They have some ambiguities. They have some things that they cannot fully explain. And they're I think they're looking for some help. And I think Father Annuzzi would be a great source, but they haven't asked him yet. But that's just my own personal opinion. But so again, the critical edition will be coming out soon, or as soon as God wills it. But in the meantime, we have this treasure, absolute treasure. And if you want to know where to get it, just send us an email at maryshill@queenofthedivineworld.org. And Father sells these books. He recoups what he needs to again, have more books printed. But if you want this book, if there's an issue right now financially, very discreetly, just send us an email and we'll make sure Mary's Hill will get you a book with no cost involved. Okay, so Father Nuzzi wants the divine will known, and he wants this this tool to be used by anyone who wants to use it. So I think it's a great great option for us. Okay, Maureen, we ready?
Yes, ready.
It's been 2 weeks we haven't gotten to this footnote. Yes. Okay, so vested is finite acts with the power to impact all creatures concomitantly and to share in God's immutability. Footnote number 288. Thanks be to God. I'm going to move us down here. And we are here. Oh, one thing I did forget to mention. We did read about how Jesus talked about the grace being there before Adam needed it. He tells us in the volumes also that grace anticipates the soul. Another thing just to think about, that when we need that grace, although we may not possess it right now, we're going to receive it when it's necessary, when it's relevant, when it's really important that we have it. So again, grace anticipates the soul. So we'll never be worried about venturing into that deep water. Remember St. Pope John Paul II said, go into the deep. Why? Because there's a lot of things that can go wrong in the deep, right? Especially if you can't swim or you can't see the bottom, you know, things like this. It takes courage to do that. I think that was the point he was trying to make.
Courage.
But yeah, courage. So have that courage, knowing that grace anticipates the soul. Grace will be there when you need it along your journey. I think our journey, I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 288 is from, well, let Maureen.
Thanks. Okay, volume 28, February 22nd, 1930. One who lives in the divine will remains surrounded by the divine immutability, death of good, sacrifice of life in order to make it rise again. I am always prey to that divine fiat, which knows how to conquer sweetly and strongly. With its sweetness, it draws me in an irresistible way. With its strength, it wins me in such a way that it can do with me whatever it wants. O holy will, since you conquer me, O please, let it be so that with your own strength and sweetness, I may win you. And surrendering to my continuous supplications, come to reign upon earth, form your sweet enchantment to the human will, and let everything on earth become divine will.
What a beautiful supplication. And, you know, I couldn't help but also reading into that, Maureen, you know, what Luis is asking for and what she's explaining. She becomes prey, you know, where again, we just read in the summary of the Father Nuzzi that the divine will absorbs our finite acts. So it's like, how do you make water go up if you don't have a pump? Well, you place a sponge right on top of the water, and the water will seep up to the sponge and be consistent and contained in the sponge. That's what the divine will is doing. It's taking us up, well, in more ways than one, actually. If you think about it, Maureen, God elevated humanity by coming in his human nature, and now he's elevating the human species by giving this gift of divine will. There's nothing, nobody. No saints, no angels, archangels, cherubims, nothing. No one can come close, as he states to us, than those journeying the divine will, because they're actually fused with God himself. So this is really, again, I sound like I'm crazy, but that's when we go back to that divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Like, this doesn't really make sense to me. How are you going to do this? I don't know how you're going to do this, God. But I trust you. You said it so, and it will
That's
be
right.
So I did nothing to get here or to be here. So why should I be so picky and I'm knowing everything? Well, I'm not going to know everything.
I mean, how can we understand it right away? I mean, it's heaven. How can we understand heaven? We're peons. So we just trust, and we know that, you know, it makes Jesus so happy. And so in this terrible time when he's, you know, his children are such a mess, and it's just to make God happy and be obedient, we do it. And then we learn as we go. But I think obedience and trust, and we don't have to know everything. We don't. We learn as we go. So you really have to be little. I have a quote here. Jesus says, "How beautiful it is to see the human smallness inside of our will, having in it its power and our divine being." So we're little, we're nothing. And they love to see us inside of them who are God. So we just have to remember we're little. We don't have to get it right away. We just keep going and it'll come.
Yeah.
And the kingdom will come.
I think that's our greatest attractiveness is being little.
Yeah.
God can move with the little. And again, we have to recognize what's happened already. I mean, if we're listening to this, if we're joining this Seneca or any other Seneca or doing anything of the divine will, we recognize to a certain extent that this is something out of the ordinary, something spectacular, something extraordinary. And that in of itself is a mystical gift. Because if you compare that to some of the people that we share this with, and even clergy, we don't get the same reaction or response than that which we would give. It doesn't seem to be as important. And we say, why? How do we see something here and these others don't? And Jesus goes on to explain that too. I think it's in volume 36. He says, I'm going to paraphrase, basically, the desire to know this gift is not there. Again, how do you move God? One way to move God is desire, wanting this gift. He knows if we want it. He knows if we don't want it. It's not what we just say. It's really what we really feel. What is our soul going to move our blessed Lord to give us the grace? And I think it's yes. And then it comes the other question, Maureen. Also, you know, we have to remember that mystical gifts are not given to everyone. They're given to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. There's nothing we've done that has merited being given the gift, but the work now, once we've been given the gift, that's when we can sort of say the merit will kick in. Because after receiving the knowledge of the gift of the divine will, now it depends on our desire. How much are we going to read? How much are we going to listen? How much are we going to want to share this or attend seminars or retreats or cenacles or whatever? Are we going to make the divine will our life and to the best we can? Again, without neglecting our other responsibilities. All this is going to play out. God knows. Again, we can't fool God. It's not like we can fool our spouses or our boy or girlfriend or children. Nobody can fool God. He knows exactly what our intentions are. That's why, Maureen, also think about intentions. That's why Jesus emphasizes the importance of intentions. Because if we really had the intention to do something, God says he'll fill in all the gaps. Just do. He tells us to do what you can do to whatever extent you can do, and I'll do the rest. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you credit as if you did everything. So, I mean, God is making this so easy for us. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think it's so easy for us to place obstacles. Some of them fictitious. They're like not even real. They're illusions that we believe to be obstacles. We just read, it's available to everybody. What do we need to do? Move God and ask for this gift. And then let God move. Let him do what he did to our Blessed Mother.
You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, where did the miracles happen? Where there was faith and trust. And so now this is a miracle that we could have the gifts of living in the divine will within us, that we could bilocate and that we could do all the things that Jesus teaches us because he's in us. That would never come without faith, and it would never come without trust. Those two things have to be there.
Right. Actually, if we think about it, probably one of the greatest miracles has already occurred. We've been introduced, we've responded, and we're journeying.
Yeah.
We really are so blessed. There's no such thing as a bad day anymore. Ah, thanks be to God. Okay, Maureen, thank you.
Okay. So while I was thinking about the divine volition, my sweet Jesus moving in my interior and making himself seen told me, "My daughter, if you knew what it means to give oneself prey to my divine will, the soul remains surrounded by our immutability, and everything becomes immutable for her: sanctity, light, grace, love. So she no longer feels the variability of the human ways, but the stability of the divine ways. Therefore, one who lives in my divine will can be called heavens, which are always fixed and stable at their place of honor with all their stars. And if they revolve, since it is the whole of creation that revolves, they do not change place, nor do they mutate, but the heavens remain always immutable with all the stars. Such is the soul who lives in my divine will. She may go around, do various actions, but since she goes around within the motive power of my divine fiat and in the wholeness of my will, she will always be heavens and immutable in her goods and in the prerogatives with which my supreme will has endowed her.
That is extraordinary. Definitely have some comments on that, but I have something here, Maureen, that I think would add to this, this paragraph, because it's really so powerful and tells us so much. If we can just jump down here real quickly in the green. It's another summary from Father Anuzzi, but in a previous chapter, 4.1.24.
Okay, I have it now. 4.1.24. The grace of impassibility, immutability, and inseparability. To Louisa, Jesus reveals that a sure sign of the soul's possession of the gift of living in the divine will is God's having bequeathed to it the great grace of impassibility, immutability, and inseparability. These prerogatives render the soul's possession of the divine will unwavering. What God is by nature, the soul becomes by grace. This state of inseparability that the soul experiences in the divine will is a union that God sustains with his uncreated power. This state does not confirm in grace the soul's free will, as it confirms in grace the saints in heaven. Rather, this state confers to the pilgrim soul the seal of the supreme Holy Trinity and a seal of sure predestination that renders its divine acts in God's will, which remains sealed within its will and sealed and adorned with divine will acts inseparable from the Trinity.
Again, that's Father Anuzzi's summary. And maybe one day we'll go into the footnotes that he gave us for this summary also. But basically, after speaking with Father, when we talk about, to break it down simply, when the souls, the saints in heaven, let's take them for example, saints in heaven, they have not relinquished their free will. And we know the free will can get us in a lot of trouble. So why doesn't the free will of those in heaven get them in trouble? It's still there. Because God explains, he binds us so tightly, covers us, shelters us, protects us, gives us all that we need spiritually. So that there are no desire to sin or to allow our free will or our human will to lead basically the divine will, it won't happen. It can happen, but it will never happen. So it really can happen, but it's never been invalidated. So if I'm explaining this improperly, I'm trying to convey a point that is understood in my mind, but I can't put it in words. Bottom line is the grace that's received now, God's offering it to us on earth. And that's how we can, living in the divine will fully, we can be sinless on earth, which seems to be an impossibility. But through the grace and armor of God, and through this gift, it's possible. We can obtain that same as in heaven. but on earth, which makes it even greater. Because again, we have that opportunity to sacrifice, to suffer. And the cross, Jesus tells us, has more grace and graces than the sacraments combined. The cross does. That's what he tells us. So I think this really helps explain that paragraph a bit. Any comments on that, Maureen?
As you were speaking, I was thinking of, and we've brought it up before, but maybe you should say it again, St. Louis de Montfort's quote about the saints in the latter days.
Oh, yeah. St. Louis de Montfort said, the saints in the latter days will be the greatest of all saints, but it won't be because of who they are or what they've done, but because of what God has done for them. Mm-hmm. So again, silly analogy, which is all I'm full of. If you wanted to have a house building competition, who can build the best house? Let's say the saints were those who have pitchforks. They've got some manual saws. They've got some hammers, couple nails. And they were able to build something. Really difficultly, they were able to build something. But now you take it to another level. Now you give that same builder or another builder, you give him equipment or her equipment, give a cement mixer, give steel frames, give a framer, give all kinds of beams, steel beams, give all these tools. And of course, with all that, you're going to be able to build a better house, not because you might be a better builder, but because you've been given better resources, better availability to things necessary to build something grand. If we're talking about a competition. So again, the saints in the latter days will be the greatest of all saints, but again, not because they're the greatest people, but because this gift of the divine will is the greatest gift that God could give to mankind. So if he or she possesses this gift, they become the greatest. So that's fascinating that St. Louis de Montfort had that insight, and he had so much insight. And so did St. Maximilian Kolbe. Maybe one day we want to talk about that, because there's a lot there.
I think what's coming to mind is some people hear this and they don't believe it because it's too unbelievable. They say, no, we can't. That's like New Age. We can't be God. Or, they make all kinds of reasons why it can't be true, and they walk away. But it's the people that have the faith and trust that say, wow, this is unbelievable, and God wants to give it to us. So you can see you have to have that faith and trust in the goodness of God, or else you'd say, this is impossible. This could never happen. So I just thank God that we're little enough to say, thank you, God, you're awesome, that you would give this to us who are not worthy. So it's very exciting.
I agree. Just think about the miracle when we go to sleep. I mean, we're in a semi-coma for 6 or 7 hours, and then miraculously we come out of it. And throughout the entire day, our heart beats, our lungs breathe, our blood flows. Are we doing anything to accommodate that? Of course not. That was one of the things that's interesting too. Was we generalize, we say, okay, when Adam sinned, he lost everything. And he really did lose everything. But if he lost everything, Jesus tells even Louisa that Adam would have ceased to exist.
Yeah.
And if Adam ceased to exist, we wouldn't be here today. So what happened was, it's so interesting. God, through his infinite love, he took everything away, yes, but he left the divine will beating Adam's heart, blowing his blood, and breathing his lungs. Why? So that the generations may have opportunity for redemption, which occurred, and now would have the opportunity for sanctification. All of this would not be possible if God took and he, of course, deservingly could have taken everything away, but he loved us so much. And he knew that we're coming back.
Yeah.
He knew we're coming back. I even knew when. And that's why, like St. Joan of Arc, we really were born for this time. God is with us. We have nothing to fear. Really. Again, we just talked about it. Grace anticipates the soul. So when I need it, this also explains too, how did those saints in the past, St. Lawrence, burned at the stake? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Turn me over, I'm done. I mean, he wasn't giving grace at the moment he needed it. Of course he was. And I think the same is going to happen to each and every one of us. So there's really nothing to fear at all, except fear itself, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's incredible. Thank you for that, Maureen. That was really good. Okay, where are we? Where are we on time? Time we're not good on. Okay. Do you have enough time just for this short paragraph here? Marina, then we'll call it that.
Okay. Okay. On the other hand, one who lives outside of my divine fiat, without its motive power. Oh, I think I already read this. Did I read this one? No.
I don't think so. Unless it's a
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. On the other hand, one who lives outside of my divine fiat, without its motive power, can be called like those wandering stars which fall in the space, as if there were no fixed place for them. And they are forced, like wandering stars, to run headlong as if they were lost away from the vault of the heavens. Such is the soul who does not do and does not live in my divine will. She mutates at each occasion. She feels within herself such variability of mutation that she feels boredom in repeating a continuous good. And if she makes any sparkling of light come out of herself, it is like the glittering of the wandering stars, which soon disappears. It can be said that this is the sign to know whether one lives of the divine will, immutability in good, and changing at every little blow, if one lives of human will.
Wow. You know what's so great about this, Maureen? This is actually measurable. I mean, sometimes you've got metrics that you can't measure or you're not quite sure. Well, you know, does it mean that? This is pretty simple. Immutability, not wavering, not flying off the handle, not getting angry, not getting worried, I guess it goes back to responding and as opposed to reacting. So reaction sometimes isn't the proper response. In fact, most times it's not. So again, everything is there. If we're still flying off the handle, if we're still getting upset at things, if we're still, especially frivolous things, if we drop something, we get so upset. I used to get upset. Who am I so perfect that I can't drop something? I expect to drop something. That's how fumbling I am. So again, we want to be able to remain with a calm and demeanor. Always kind, always loving, always charitable. Again, there's never a bad day, but of course some days are going to be better than others. And again, we're going to have our dry spots. But remember the dry spots, I put the dry spots in the same as the privation. You know, God's giving us that. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow in virtues. And with the privation, Jesus tells us point blank, it's an opportunity to redouble love in order to quickly fill those voids that must be filled before we can enter heaven. These are the voids that are missed opportunities to give thanksgiving, glory, and honor to God on the level of God, due to God, that we do we used to do probably often in our lives, maybe not so much now. So that's why the actual acts, come divine will, drive in my driving, come divine will, washing my washing, making the rounds impromptu with the beauty around us and the flowing water and everything. Yeah, there's no limit. God gave us all of creation to be a subtle reminder of his love for us and of him. So we really, if we look and see, we can really remember God. If we just look, of course, like I used to, we could forget God very easily. Thanks be to God, Maria. We have Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that'll be with us live via live stream from Italy this Sunday at 2 p.m. Yeah, 2 p.m. Rosary and the Divine and the live adoration will begin at 1 p.m. And again, we're awaiting an announcement. There's going to be a Divine Will event in Pennsylvania in the Philadelphia area in the summer of this year, 2023. And we hope to be able to bring that to you shortly. So I would say if you can, hold up any 4th of July plans for that weekend. And we'll take it from there. Again, thanks be to God. Thanks, Maureen, for everything.
Thanks, Peter.
And see everyone, God willing, on Sunday.
Okay. Love
everyone.
Everybody.
Kind to everyone. Okay, bye.